I don't eat corn. Not corn flakes, not corn pudding, not cornbread, corn muffins, corn chowder, corn syrup, corn oil, high fructose corn syrup. Not even grits. And if you grew up on a farm, playing in the cornfields of your grandparents who were farmers, that might sound a little extreme. Like being from Texas and not liking sweet tea. Just kind of doesn't sound right. But here's the thing. Corn was everywhere, in everything. It was in the fried fish on Friday nights. It was in the corn dogs at the county fair. It was in the cornbread dressing on Thanksgiving. It was in the cornmeal crust on the fried fish, on the fried okra, on the fried green tomatoes. It was my grandmother's fried corn. And nobody on the planet made better fried corn than my grandmother. My grandmother would get her sharpest knife, and then she would really cut the ends of the tips of the kernel off. And then she would get a spoon and cull out the creamy sweetness, because she didn't want the hull. She didn't want the tough hull part of it to get caught in your teeth or in her dentures. That was important. So it was tough for me because corn was everything. Corn was everywhere. And so once I made the decision that I didn't want corn in my life because of my health journey, because of my struggle with food addiction, it was particularly hard, especially because I love tortilla chips. And being from Texas, I can tell you that there is really nothing better than a exquisitely crafted tortilla chips. Tortilla chips were my weakness. They were my joy. They were my kryptonite until they weren't. So it was November 2021. I was in Dallas at my favorite restaurant, and I was meeting a friend for dinner, and she called at the last minute and said that she couldn't make it. So I'm in my favorite restaurant, my favorite Mexican restaurant. She can't make it. I don't have a problem eating in a restaurant by myself, so I go up to the bar, and I order a jalapeno margarita, because that's the way they make margaritas in Texas, right? I order my margarita, and as I'm sitting there perusing the menu, the server comes and offers some chips. The bartender wants me to have some chips. I say, no, thank you. Not struggling, not resisting, just choosing not to have the chips. So as I'm sitting there perusing the menu, my mind goes back to the very first time I ever went to a Mexican restaurant. So it was 1971 in Marshall, Texas. It was the first year of forced integration in Marshall, Texas. And we had just finished studying the Organization of American States. And my white social studies teachers thought it would be a good idea if we culminated the study with going to El Chico, which was the only Mexican restaurant in my small town. So the permission slips went out. And all the phone lines, the party lines in the black community lit up. Because we didn't go out to eat. That's not what we did. And so here's the conversation. Are you going to let Michelle go down to the El Chico with the school? girl, I don't know. Did you see how much it costs? It's $2.99. That's grocery money. You think they're going to be all right down there? Well, I don't know. We got to let them try something new. Well, I don't know. We're going to have to pray about that. And so some of us were allowed to go. But there were some stipulations for this field trip. All of us got the same lecture. When you go down there to that restaurant, don't go down there acting like you have never seen food before. Don't put your elbows on the table. Put your napkin in your lap. Don't chew with your mouth open. All the etiquette, right? So, El Chico night came. We go down to the restaurant, my friends and I. And let me tell you what happened. We walked into the restaurant and all the white kids were having the time of their life. They were reaching across the table. They were slinging salsa, tossing back chips, laughing, having the best time. My friends and I, the black kids, we were sitting at the table, polite, erect, correct, napkins in our lap, watching the mayhem before us, wondering what is going on with these kids, right? And so we're sitting there, and as I think about it, we never had the chips. We missed the best. What was the best part of the meal? Because we didn't know. We didn't understand. So I'm thinking about that as I'm sitting here at this 50 years later at the restaurant in Dallas. And young white guy sitting next to me sees my car keys. And he says, yeah, are you visiting? We strike up a conversation. I have my jalapeno margarita, no chips. We start talking. And he says, well, what do you do? You know, y'all always want to know what we do, right? So I tell him that I'm a writer, and I talk to him about food stories, the relationship between our emotions and food and history and culture and how it drives our behavior. And so he looks at me, and he says, I think you have something there. Now I'm like, well, my goodness, why do you think I have something here? And he looks at me, and he says, now I understand. When my parents told me that they were getting divorced, I was eating steak, peas, and mashed potatoes. And every time I have that meal, I get sad. And from that point on, it went deep, y'all. We connected. Brandon, his name, Brandon and his buddy, we sat there, these two young white guys and a 60-year-old black woman sat there at that bar, and we talked for 90 minutes. We connected. We talked about race. We talked about education. We talked about love. We talked about disappointments. We talked about dreams. We had a conversation that bridged generations, that bridged gender, that bridged geography, because I had moved the food out of the way. And as I sit there and I think about that conversation, here's what I think. I think, and this, not just that I think it, I know it. If I had been at that bar the year before or 2 years before, the conversation would have never happened. It would have never happened because I would have been too busy in the chips. I would have been too busy crunching. I would have been too busy focused on the food rather than the person sitting next to me. I would have been closed. I wouldn't have been open to this opportunity to feel like, to be available for what it feels like to have that kind of connection. So, 50 years later, I'm at this bar. We have this connection, and now I'm reflecting on it. And what I see really clearly, is that in 1971, I didn't have the chips. I didn't have the chips because of fear and because of restraint. In 2021, I didn't have the chips out of freedom. Freedom. And when I think about those two instances, what I think is this, is that there were two tables, two moments in time, one basket of chips. And what it tells me is that sometimes the food does feed us, but sometimes when we let it go, it feeds us more. Thank you.